Notice what as Paul pours out his heart to try to win King Agrippa to Christ, notice the response that King Agrippa says to Paul in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul, I heard what you said to me, and I'm stirred, I'm touched, I'm moved, I'm almost persuaded. But, you know, the Bible never records him getting saved. See, almost won't get you to heaven. Almost sends people to hell. And today I want to address that subject. That almost persuaded person. We got the call yesterday about my brother-in-law. And I said to Rosie, I sure hope he was saved. I've witnessed to him a lot, but he never made a profession in front of me. And she said, even took some of my tapes and everything for a while. And here's what Rosie said to me. It made me want to preach this verse. I know he almost did, Rich. And I said, I know almost, but almost don't get you to heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray today that we as Christians would see the reality of hell. And I pray that if there be some here that know you not as Savior, that today would not be an almost persuaded, that they would be fully persuaded and they wouldn't put off trusting Christ today as their Savior. And Lord, I believe with all my heart you told me to preach this message. So help me to do the work that you've called me to do. Help me to speak for you and proclaim the wonderful gospel of Christ Jesus. And I pray that many to hear will receive the glad tidings and the good tidings of Christ. May Christians be encouraged to serve you with more of a zeal. And may we understand that people are just one heartbeat from hell. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul here witnessing to the king, Agrippa, and all those around him to trust Jesus as their personal Savior. Look at verse 29. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, King Agrippa, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. I want you to be saved like me. I don't want you to be in bonds and be a prisoner in jail, but I want you to get saved. And not just you, King Agrippa, but all those who are underneath the sound of my voice, I want everyone to be saved. You know, that ought to be the heart of every Christian. We ought to want everyone to be saved, to know Christ as their Savior. Now, the reason Paul's standing before King Agrippa and Festus, the governor, is because many of the Jews from Jerusalem wanted to put Paul to death. Matter of fact, if you follow me in the book of Acts, I'll teach you and show you some things. Look at Acts 25, verse 2 and 3. But then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, besought him, desired favor against him, in Acts 25, 3, that he would send for him into Jerusalem, lay in wait and way to kill him. They wanted Paul to be killed. Look at verse 7. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem, because they're in Caesarea, by the way, and laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. They were all false. Look at verse 24. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought to not live any longer. They hated Paul. What happened? Paul went to Jerusalem and preached Christ, and it got the religious group mad. You see, when you preach Christ to a bunch of people that are religious, people love religion, but they don't love Christ. See, Christ is not religion. Religion sends people to hell. Christ gets people to heaven. And Brother Carey, I believe Paul, or no, I don't believe it, it's in the scripture. He preached Jesus Christ to them. He preached that Jesus was the only Savior of the world. By the way, He is the only Savior of the world. Not Muhammad, not, no. People say, well, they all got their own God. No, there's only one God. There's only one way to get to heaven. And that way is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the door. Paul preached Jesus Christ crucified. He preached Him risen. He preached, you must be born again. You know, the religious world gets mad when you... they'll let you do all you want about religion, but boy, the moment you start talking about the blood of Jesus being shed for your sins and their sins, then the criteria is not what they like. Then the cries come out. Paul got in this fix because he didn't obey the Spirit of God, by the way, though. The Spirit of God warned Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 21. I'm doing this for a reason. Acts 21, look at 21:4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Are you in Acts 21? We're going to go back to Acts 26 rather, but how many are in Acts 21 with me right now? See, I want you to, when you read something, I want you to understand what you're reading. How many are still with the preacher? And finding the disciples, we tarried there 7 days. And who said to Paul, through the Spirit, capital S, that's the Spirit of God, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. How many see that? He should not go up to Jerusalem. No, also in that same chapter, when you look there in chapter, look at verse 10 through 14. And as we, I'm in chapter 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound him his own hands and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Which you're reading about in chapter 25 and 26. In 21, he's telling them that's going to happen if you go to Jerusalem. And when we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. In other words, they said, we begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. God didn't want Paul to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye for to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jesus at Jerusalem. I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. You know, it's amazing, and I noted this for you. Many times, Christians face heartaches and hardships because they don't obey the Spirit of God. You know, because we don't obey God's will in our lives, many times we are not where God wants us, and many times things happen to us because we're out of God's will. I'm going to be preaching next, Lord willing, next Sunday morning in Sunday school, how to know God's will, so you can reach higher things for God. The Apostle Paul was warned over and over, but he refused to obey the leading of God's Spirit. Listen, he had his heart and mind set on going to Jerusalem. He loved the Jews. Nothing wrong with that. But God said, no, this isn't the right time for you to go there, Paul. He did it anyways. You know, Christians, can I say something to you? People say, well, preacher, he was serving God. He was, but he was out of the will of God. Because God specifically said, do not go to Jerusalem. And he warned them over and over through the Spirit of God, through people, and through the prophet. And he rejected. He said, no. No to God, the no to the woman of the Spirit of God, no to the man of God, no to the Word of God. Be careful when you say, I don't care what you call it, I'm going in the name of Jesus. You might be thinking you're going in the name of Jesus, but if you're not in God's stead, you're not. It's important that we obey God. You know, Eddie, we could be doing something that we think is good, which we know is good, but if it's not God's will, then we are not doing what God would want. Am I making sense to anybody here? See, you should, before you do anything of major, you should know it's God's will. No matter what. The Holy Spirit will bear witness in your heart when He's in something. And if the Holy Spirit grieves and says, no, no, don't do it. But a lot of us were so, I can see, but from Paul, he was stubborn. He's what we call bullheaded. Hello? Kind of like you, your wives call your husbands. That old stubborn mule. Hello? Amen? Oh, me? He was stubborn, but you know what? Don't be stubborn with God. Know God's will for your life. I wanted you to note, remember, God didn't call Paul to the Jews. He called Paul to the Gentiles. In Acts 9.15, let me read it to you. And after his conversion, Acts 9.15, I'll read it to you. You can turn to it if you like. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a talking about Paul. For go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Let me see that. And kings and the children of Israel. Notice the children of Israel. Notice the placement. Gentiles first, kings, then Israel. See, when you study the scripture over in Galatians 2:8, you'll see that Peter was the pillar for the Jews. And the Bible says in Galatians 2:8 that Peter was sent to the circumcision. As Paul was sent to the uncircumcision. Circumcision referring to the Jews. Uncircumcision referring to the Gentiles. Galatians 2:8. I'm here with the preacher. And so, Brother Carl, God's got a purpose for our life. When I came to Bethel Baptist Church, there was other churches calling me, but I knew this is where God wanted. I've always tried to put God's will foremost in my life. And I want to encourage you to put God's will foremost in your life. Yeah, not only did God tell them that in 9:15, but those that take my Romans class, and those that have heard me preach a while, Acts 13:9, God changed his member's name was Saul. He changed his name to Paul. And the reason he changed his name to Paul, in Acts 13:7, Paul witnessed to a man named Sergius Paulus, Acts 13:7, the Apostle Paul, but his name was Saul then, he witnessed and he led this man named Sergius Paulus to Christ. It's the first recorded Gentile convert of Paul, written in the Bible. The first recorded convert. And he was the first recorded Gentile convert. And his name was Sergius Paulus. And see, God said, and Saul, whose name is Paul. See, God changed his name Saul to Paul as a memorial to always remind Paul, you, every time he hears that name, he remembers the first convert of Gentiles named Sergius Paulus, saying, I want you to remember, you are sent as a memorial that you're sent to the Gentiles. Can anyone say amen? I noted in Galatians 2:8 that the scripture teaches that Peter was sent, calls him Cephas. With Cephas, his name is Peter, over there in Galatians 2:8. He was sent to the circumcision, and Paul was sent to the uncircumcision, which is the Gentiles. Now, this warning of God that not to go to Jerusalem comes true, because if you look at Acts chapter 21 and verse 30 and 32, he didn't listen to God. And now he's in a fix. One thing good about, oh God, no matter where you are, you can do all things, you can do, make something good come out of anything. Are you with me? And all the city was moved. All the city was moved. Look at the scripture, what it says. And the people ran together. They took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And in Jerusalem, they grabbed him right by his neck and carried him out of the temple. Kicking him and biting and beating on him. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him. Woo! tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was on an uproar. Wow! He's got the whole city up in an uproar. I wonder if God knows what's good for us. He was preaching Christ. But see, God knew at that time those people wouldn't accept it. How many are still with me? I want to tell you something. We need to understand that the most important thing is for us to obey. It's better to obey than sacrifice, Scripture says. Amen? Now stay with me in the Scriptures. Now go back to, look at Acts chapter 22 and verse 25. As you're, so they got him. So Paul, he says, don't beat on me. I got Roman citizenship. I don't want to be tried here. I want to be put before Caesar. Are you with me? And so, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul sent the centurion and said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that's in a Roman and uncondemned? Boy, they got, we better not hurt him. We'll be in trouble with Rome. Are you with me? Because Rome was over all those provinces. Are you with me? Now stay with me. Stay with me in the Scriptures. Now go back to Acts 26. You see him here before King Agrippa and Festus. He stands at in the court under the Roman jurisdiction. He sees Festus, who, by the way, Festus succeeded Felix as governor and was appointed by Nero to govern the province of Judea. Are you with me? And then, of course, you got King Agrippa, who represents Rome. Come here with me there. Now watch. Acts 26:1. King Agrippa said, Paul, thou art permitted to speak. All right? You're in front of the king now. I'm going to let you talk. Go ahead and tell me what you want to tell me. How many see that? Now watch. In verse 4, 5, 9, and 10, he talks about his old life. Look at verse 4 and 5. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among my own nation at Jerusalem. He was a Jew, but he also had citizenship of Rome. First among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, man. No, look at verse 9 and 10. I verily thought with myself I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He said, man, listen to me. I'm a Jew of Jews. I'm a Pharisee. In my past life, I put Christians in jail. Matter of fact, I encouraged Christians to be killed. Man. Now he's given his life for Christ, but before he got saved, he was killing Christians. I'm amazed what God can do with anybody. By the way, when Saul was killing Christians, he thought he was serving God. It's amazing what people do sometimes in the name of Christ. The Scripture says in Romans 10, they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. And that's why you need to have knowledge. Just having a zeal is not good. A lot of people have a zeal. Jehovah Witness have a zeal. I see the Mormons walking up and down the street by two. They have a zeal, but without knowledge. My people are destroyed, Jesus, the Scripture says. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Right from wrong. Amen? Now notice, then Paul tells us conversion. He tells of his salvation and the day he got saved. Look at verse 13 through 15. At midday, O king, remember on Acts 9, he going down the road to Damascus to put more people in jail. He's got warrants to put them in jail. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. How many see that in verse 13? Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a great voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. This conversion is recorded in Acts chapter 9. When Paul was on the Damascus road going to get Christians to put him in jail. Did you notice what changed his life around? He saw the light of Christ. Do you know everybody has to see the light of Christ? Do you know everybody walks in darkness till they come to light? That's why Jesus said, Brother Andy, Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. Let's look up here. People need to understand that they need a Savior. Jesus is more than a swear word. He's more than Christmas and Easter. He's more than just a religious holiday. He's more than Xmas. Are you with me? By the way, He's not Xmas. And people need to realize that Savior came and died and suffered and shed His blood on Calvary's cross. They took some blood out of somebody there. Was it Elizabeth? Yeah, I think it was maybe. I was with somebody this week, and maybe it was Tam Tam. I can't remember. One of those groups. They took some blood. I said, hey, you know what you're doing to that woman? They said, the nurse said, what? I said, they're taking blood out of her. Yeah, I know that. I said, you know what you're doing with that? I said, you know how good that important that blood is? I said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Oh. I said, you just took some life out of her. I said, thank God. God made us where we're fearfully and wonderfully made, where we reproduce blood again. Amen? And by the way, Jesus on the cross, He shed His blood. He gave His life for you and I. Everyone needs to understand that. And He did it because there's a literal burning hell. Hell is real. Hell, people like to hear about hell, but hell is real. And that's why Christ came and suffered and agonized so we wouldn't have to go to hell. You know, if there wasn't a hell, it'd be kind of stupid for Jesus to go to the cross and go through all that. You ever wonder why there had to be a great motive that made Jesus do what He did? He went through a whole lot, being born of a virgin, coming down from heaven, leaving the splendor of God, being crucified and marred more than any man that ever was marred in all eternity and all mankind. It's amazing He did all that if there wasn't no hell. The Mormons don't believe there's a hell. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe. But I'm going to tell you, there is a hell. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. And everyone needs to understand that. And He tells them about His conversion, how He got saved. You know, in Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's why Jesus went to the Calvary's cross and suffered, because He knew our eternal souls would go to hell if they weren't redeemed. Scripture says He was the just that died for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. Scripture says in Mark 10:45, Jesus said, I've not come to be ministered to, but to minister my life, a ransom for many. Scripture says there's one God between God and man, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Then it goes on, who gave His life a ransom for all. Scripture says, but God commended His love towards us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. How many are glad He died for us? Well, Jesus planted and gave himself so we wouldn't have to go to hell. And He said, don't worry about those people that can kill your body. Worry about the one that can kill your soul eternally in hell. You know, the Apostle Paul knew if people didn't get saved, they'd go to hell. in Acts 20:31, he said, no, remember this, that for the space of 3 years, night and day, I ceased not to warn people with tears. He said, man, there wasn't a time in 3 years that I didn't warn people with tears because I knew hell was real. And he knew King Agrippa would die and go to hell if he didn't get saved. And he pleaded with King Agrippa to be saved. Look at verse 18 through 24, Acts 26. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness. Man, people need forgiveness today. Of sins, and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wherein, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. They just got mad at me for telling them they need to be saved. King Agrippa, I'm here because I preached to him Christ. I just told him the truth. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things, those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He said, I only told him what the Old Testament told him was going to happen. He didn't make this stuff up. That Christ, verse 23, should suffer, and that he should be first, and that should rise from the dead, that he should be the first to rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, I circled that, a loud voice. The world don't like it when you preach about Jesus, Tommy. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul wasn't can you imagine how passionate the words Paul was, the words when he spoke, how passionate they came out of his heart when he spoke? I'm going to tell you, people were moved. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. By the way, Paul was educated in all kinds of languages. He was brilliant. He's a scholar. And he said, you're mad, Paul. I noticed something. People, you know, you ever notice when you take a stand for Jesus? You guys got kicked out of that housing development yesterday because you were telling people about Jesus. People think we're crazy because we tell them about Jesus. You can tell them about everything in the world. They'll sit and talk to them about knitting, talk to them about cooking, talk to them about sports, talk to them. But the moment you bring up Jesus, try this someday. I'll show you how you that are at workshops and you're in a place where lunch hour and there are lots of people, you hear people talking, and as long as you don't bring up the name of Christ, it'll go. But the moment you say, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, watch how quiet it gets. You could say, hey, I want to talk to you about the Browns. I want to talk to you about the Indians. But I want to talk to you about Jesus. Are you nuts? You're a fanatic. All you want to talk about is Jesus. You're nuts in the head, Wilson. This lady told Brother Eddie yesterday, she says, you're just like the Jehovah's Witness that come here. And I love what Eddie, he said, no, I'm not. He said, ma'am, respectfully to you, they teach you that there's no hell. I'm telling you there is one, and Jesus loves you, and he came to save you, so you don't have to go there. Praise God for Eddie Wilson, amen. He said, ma'am, there's a big difference. Amen? She said, take your literature and go. That's what the world thinks. They think we're mad. They think your preachers, boy, that preacher down on Freedom Street, he's a wacko. That guy believes every word in that Bible that is true. He believes there's a heaven. He believes there's a hell. He believes the only way you get to heaven is through Jesus. He believes that every word of God's pure. Man, he's so naive. He's not naive. He's narrow-minded. Boy, that guy, who does he think he is down there on Freedom Street? I just know I'm a child of God like the Apostle Paul. I'm just telling people like Paul did, hey, Jesus loves you and died for you and arose. And heaven's real and hell's real. And if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. And that's why Christ came. So no one would ever have to go to hell. I preached a funeral about a week ago or so. Coolidge's mother, and she got saved when she was 13 years old. They still been talking to Coolidge. His friends said, man, that was the most different funeral we ever went to. They said, man, you people were excited, got happy. Preacher was telling how she was in heaven. And she said, we've never been anything like that. They ain't been around many Christians. See, Brother Carl, when you and I die, that's not bad. It's glory for us. Amen? Now notice, Paul said in verse 25, I'm not crazy. Look what he said there. I love it. He said, I'm not mad. By the way, we're not. They're the ones that nuts. We're not. Most noble. He was real polite, though. Notice how he was polite. And that you were polite. Yes, that's good, Eddie. Always be polite. Most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth. And by the way, I'm sober. I'm not drunk. Are you still with me, church? Now watch. Many times you're going to be trying to do things, and people are going to think, boy, you're just off the wall. Yeah, but you got to know what? And they're going to try to discourage you and me from telling the story of Christ. And by the way, many times Christians do get, we get tired of hearing it. And we'd say, oh, what's the use? They don't want to hear it. I'm not going to tell them. And that's just what Satan wants. Now watch. Look at verse 27. We're going to put it all together. Verse 27. Acts 26. Look at Paul's plea. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you know about all the great prophets of Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, you know all Ezekiel, you know all prophets, Elijah, are you with me? I know that thou believest. I know you gotta, you just gotta believe, you just gotta believe. Are you with me? I love this. See, when you're saying, would you like to take Jesus? Here's what, you ought to be like Paul. Yeah. How many like to take Jesus as Savior? Watch my head. Most Christians, you wouldn't want to take Jesus, would you? No, I guess not. Paul's begging. He said, anyone in their right mind would want to believe this. How could you deny the truth that you've already foresaw and know about? He said, I know you believe. You've got to believe. How could you not believe it? That's the kind of heart we ought to have when we tell people, hey, you've got to believe. You must believe. You should believe. Man, what we got is real. And what we got, Brother Rod, they need desperately. And we needed it desperately before we got it. And thank God for people who came and gave it to us. Even though they were scoffed and scorned and laughed about and made fun about and called all names, they kept coming. Hallelujah. Someone kept coming for me. I noted, did you see all the things that Paul used, Eddie, to try to reach him? He gave him his past life. He gave him his personal experience with Christ. By the way, one of the greatest soul winning tips you can have is tell people how you got saved. I always say how I got saved. Most you could tell us. Most you could say how you know how preacher got saved. I came to church as a kid off the streets, wearing my black leather jacket, a hood, a hoodlum, and I met a little girl named Rosie, and she took me out to a little old missionary Baptist church. about 40 or 50 people. Out of just a little building could probably seat maybe 150 people. Half the size of this building right here. Her dad helped build it. And I heard the preacher preach, and he preached truth, and I thought, man, that guy's got my number. I mean, I knew I needed something. And I kept asking God way before that, God, there's got to be more to life than this. He gave an invitation. I didn't come forward. After church, he came and got me and took me in his office and said, how'd you like to be saved? I knew I needed something. So I made a profession of Christ. I asked Jesus to save me. But you know what? See, I just grabbed hold of religion that day. A year later, I was reading the Bible. Oh, I went to church, prayed in the church, passed out tracts, gave money, witnessed. They thought, man, that rich guy was an upcomer. This kid from the streets, we think God's going to do something with this kid. And one night I said something to Rosie. She says, oh, you're gonna die and go to hell. You could die and go to hell. So people say, I said, oh my. And I thought, oh, I never saw myself as a lost. I never saw myself going to hell. I like what Coolidge told me the other day. He said, preacher, that when I got saved, I knew I was afraid to go to hell. I said, Coolidge, nobody can get saved unless they realize they're going to hell. Because to get saved, you've got to be lost. And for the first time in my life, even though I had religion, prayed with the preacher, shook the hand, went through the whole ball of wax, had all the religion and everything went with it. I got down on my knees that night from an old green couch, paid $110 for the couch, the lamps, and everything. And I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. You see, for the first time, I really realized that it was Jesus and only Jesus I needed to get me to heaven. And I realized if I died right then, I'd go to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. He said, preacher, I was afraid. I said, I'm going to tell you, I was scared. I was crying. Listen, if you never saw yourself going to hell, you probably didn't get saved. What he saved you from. And I said, oh God. See, too many people got it's on that. We'll get it next week in the Sunday school class. It's on that paper, but I didn't get to it. I'll do a little bit this morning. I'm giving you part of the Sunday school next week. A lot of people make professions of faith, but they're not possessors. Just saying a prayer don't get you to heaven. People pray all the time. God, give me money. God, help me win the lottery. Bring my husband back. Help my kids get well. That's not salvation. Salvation, when you see yourself one-on-one with God, guilty, in need of a Savior, condemned, going to hell and say, oh God, I'm a condemned sinner. Jesus, you died just for me. I believe you died and rose. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior. Save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you right now. Come to my heart. Bam, that's when you get saved. That's salvation, not religion. And most people don't have it. That's why you have a ton of stuff messed up in your churches. Because you got a lot of people in the church that aren't even born again. Notice, he gave him his personal experience. He gave him the gospel of Christ. And then he brings out the prophets. He's hitting them with everything he can, Eddie. He's getting bam, 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 bam. Verse 28, almost thou persuadest me. King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me, Paul. Man, I heard everything you said. I saw you. He said, man, I believe almost. Man, you've touched my heart. Did you know almost won't get you into heaven? Almost won't get you to heaven. Almost is never good enough. The King Agrippa said, almost persuadeth me. I'm going to tell you something right now. Almost will never get you into heaven. Almost is never good enough. I almost won the game, the teenager said after the game. But they didn't even almost it. They weren't even close to winning. The old men beat the fire out of those kids. I almost won the game. I almost scored a touchdown, said Josh. I almost had a home run. I almost hit the lucky number. Did you realize almost always falls short of the mark? Almost always falls short of the mark. I almost succeeded before I failed. King Agrippa said, Paul, You almost got me persuaded to trust Jesus as my Savior. I'm all done. Almost. I wonder what else Paul could have done to get King Agrippa to trust Christ. Because King Agrippa did not trust Christ. Scripture, like Nicodemus, you see what Scripture records. Nicodemus got saved later in his life. The Bible reveals that. King Agrippa never mentions it again. He didn't get saved. Matter of fact, Brother Bud, King Agrippa, I studied a little bit about his life. When King Agrippa was 17 years old, his daddy, who was the king, he died. And they waited 6 years, and then King Agrippa became king when he was 23 years old. He ruled for 50 years. He was approximately 73 years old when he died. Did you know he died? By the way, he was alive in 70 AD when Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem. They burned it down. Guess who was in authority back then? King Agrippa. King Agrippa died and went to hell because almost won't get you to heaven. Are you still with me? Listen to me in these final statements. He died and he went straight to hell. King Agrippa is crying out today because almost persuaded will not get you into heaven. You're going to stand before God and say, well, I almost did it the day the preacher gave us an invitation. Almost. Depart from me. I had a brother-in-law die yesterday. A good man. A good husband. A good father. A good worker. And I loved him. He was good to my sister. Rose and I witnessed to him over and over for years, as when I lived in Toledo. I witnessed to him. Never would make a profession. When they called me yesterday, unexpectedly, because man, when I saw him a couple months ago, man, he looked like he was doing great. He looked like he was in pretty good health. And I said, oh, Rose, and I mentioned this earlier, I said, I hope Dave. See, when death comes, reality sets in. You see, we look at each and we always think, well, we got plenty of time. I told John Boy yesterday, I plan on preaching until Jesus comes, but I never know when I'm going to go. So now I want to try to start leaving some stuff, a legacy behind. I want to leave something behind to give to others that would follow me. And I said, Rosie, I sure hope he was saved. By the way, all the hoping in the world won't get you in heaven. Because once you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Listen, I'm telling you, the heaven's real, hell's real. And when a person dies, they either go to heaven or they go to hell. And she said, well, you know, he almost was. And this one made me preach this message. She said, honey, you remember he took tapes and remember you there was a while. Oh, I witnessed to him. For years I witnessed to him. Sometimes more than others. Wrote him letters. Wept with him, and then for a while there was a few years back, Eddie, where he was actually listening to me, and they were taking my tapes, sending preaching tapes to him. But I never, he was almost there, but he never told me he made a faith in Christ. I noted this. King Agrippa and all those like him are being tormented right now. Because almost persuades me will never get you into heaven, but will always take you straight to hell. Did you know when people die, they're always fully persuaded? Did you know there's no unbelievers in hell? Hell says, I don't believe in hell. You won't. You'll believe when you die and go there. There's no unbelievers in hell. Too bad Christians don't believe it more. Listen to me. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Hell is real. Hell is real. Matthew 13:42. They shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:50. There should be wailing. They shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Revelation 14:11. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever's name not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Isaiah 5:14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. I'm going to tell you, every day hell's getting larger and larger and larger, because people are dying and dying and dying. And although they might be almost persuaded, they're not persuaded, and they die and go to hell. King Agrippa, no doubt, when he died, cried out to Paul, "Paul, I believe now. I'm not almost persuaded. Paul, give me all these slaves. Paul, give me all these slaves. I believe now." Too late. Oh, last night I couldn't sleep. I thought about my brother-in-law, Dave. It's almost like I could hear him, Carrie, crying out, "Rich, Rich, I believe now. Rich, I'm sorry. Take me out of this place of torment, please." You see, once they fall in, you can't pull them out. Luke 16, the rich man cries out to Abraham, "Take me from this place of torment." 26th verse of Luke 16, he said, "I can't. There's a great gulf fixed. They which are with you cannot come to them who are over here." In other words, once you go to hell, you're in hell forever. Once you go to heaven, you're in heaven forever. People from hell can't go into heaven, and people from hell can't go into heaven. People from heaven can't go into hell, and people from hell cannot go into hell. There's a great gulf fixed. And once you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. When death sets in, there is no almost persuaded. No one's almost persuaded then. Everyone, when they die, they're fully persuaded about eternity. But then it's too late, Rod. I want to leave you with these two questions. I wonder today if there is a person here that you've been saying, "Almost persuaded." Or maybe you're saying, "Maybe next week, preacher." Or, "Preacher, you really got to me." Had a man, a priest at a funeral one time years ago in West Virginia, a man come up and says, he said, I didn't think any preacher could ever reach me. He said, "You really got to me, preacher." I said, "I didn't get to you. God did." You heard today, you've been putting off trust in Christ as your Savior. You need to come up and get saved right now. Don't put it off. Don't be almost persuaded, because I'm going to tell you, almost persuaded, "Well, I'll tell God, I almost did. I went to church. I thought about it." No, you see, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. You better get saved today. Don't put it off. Don't play with eternity. You never know when you're going to die. I wish I could have grabbed my brother-in-law 2 months ago when I went down the wedding for my niece and Cleo and said, "Dave, please get saved." I told him I loved him. I told him a bunch of things, but I didn't plead with him to get saved. I should have. I wonder how many people that you know in your family or your friends that are almost persuaded. Maybe you could go out today and tell somebody that you know that's almost persuaded, "Man, don't put it off. Don't put it off. The preacher's brother-in-law just died. King Agrippa died. The man, the rich man died. They're almost persuaded. They all went to hell." Grab them. Try to persuade them. Don't go to hell. These are wake-up calls for us, man. We need to worry about people going to hell. We always think it's another convenient day. But that day never comes. And now, he's forever there. And I can't pull him out. I had a chance while he was on this side. But now, that chance is forever gone. Some of you know people that are almost persuaded. You ought to go to him today and this week. And you ought to go like Paul, begging them to be saved. Because if they die in that state, they'll die in eternal agony and pain, which forever and ever and ever and never changing. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Fire and torment and brimstone and gnashing of teeth. Forever and ever and ever. Because we don't care. We better start caring. Almost, I can see Paul. I believe he's crying. He said, not just you, King. Everyone that's hearing me, I want them all to be saved. You know, I would to God. You told me about that church that had 200 people going on visitation. Until we get caring about people literally dropping into hell, you'll never see 200 people here on visitation. Because it's going to be compassion making the difference, going out witnessing for people for Christ. I'm going to close with this. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again. I want you to remember it. I heard it when I was a young kid preacher. It's a true story. He was a great preacher. He's real old now. If you kids can ever hear him preach, you should go to hear him preach. His name is Dr. Tom Malone. He's up probably 70, going towards 80 now. Dr. Tom Malone was preaching in his church up called Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan, years ago. And he was preaching on heaven, preaching on hell. And he looked back and he saw a couple sitting in the very back of his church. And he saw them during the invitation, holding on, holding on. He said, come on, come on, come on. Get saved now while you got a chance. And he watched them hold on and grip real hard, but they never came. And then he saw them take their pen out. And he saw them grab the songbook. And they wrote something in the songbook. And they closed it. And they put the songbook back in the rack. That afternoon, then they left. That afternoon, he got a phone call. Dr. Malone, that couple that visited our church today, after they left church, they got in a car accident and both of them were killed. By the way, we had some people killed on Route 8 here and 76 this last week. I don't know who they were, but God bless those families. You never know what's going to happen, do we? And all Dr. Malone could think about those kids dying and going to hell, and he ran to the church. He ran and got the songbook that they put, and he opened it up. And he looked until he found what they wrote in the songbook. And they wrote, he found the page where they wrote on. And in the back of their songbook, they wrote, we'll take our chance. And they walked out that door. And they died. And went on to eternity. And now they're crying out right now. Help me, Dr. Malone. Help me. We changed our mind. Too late. They took their chance and they died and went to hell. Don't be almost persuaded today. Don't come up to shake my hand. Come up and embrace the Savior that can save your soul from hell. And Christians, we need to start witnessing like we really mean it. Because when our family and friends die, if they're not saved as much as we care and love them, they're not going to heaven on our coattails. Heaven's a personal matter. No one gets heaven on somebody else's merit. It's all by God's grace, and it must be a personal salvation. Every individual person must be born again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Deborah's going to come. By the way, if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you should come. I don't see the people that were supposed to, but there might be someone else here. If you're here, you've been saved, you've never been baptized, you should come right now. We're going to baptize today. If you've trusted Christ and you've never been baptized, you should come right now. Let me talk to the rest of you. How many Christians could say, preacher, I know some friends or family members that are almost persuaded. But if they died, they'd go to hell today. Would you pray that they'd get saved before it's too late? Who would say that? Yes. 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 Now, can I ask you something? Would you care enough about their soul to come to this altar and ask God to help you to go witness to them? Why don't you come and ask God? Come on. If we really care, come on. Let's pray, oh God, help me be a witness. You might get the call today or tomorrow. Hey, your friend, your family member died. Are they ready to die? Did you give a last plea? Did they at least have a chance? Did you at least try to warn them of the oncoming eternal flames of hell? Did you ever tell them about the love of Christ that came just so they wouldn't have to go to hell? You're here today. Some of you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You might be that person. I'm almost persuaded. But preacher, I've never asked Christ to save me. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Pastor, I don't know if I die, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Young or old, I don't care who you are. God loves you all. Doesn't matter. He's no respecter of persons. Anyone here today say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. Maybe you're almost persuaded today. Oh, don't be that. Come all the way. Don't be almost. Come all the way. Come all the way to Jesus today. Don't be halfway persuaded. Don't be stirred. Just come all the way to Jesus. Come all the way to Jesus today. Don't be almost persuaded. It won't get you to heaven. Almost persuaded will take you straight to hell. You need Jesus today. You come. Go ahead and sing, Deborah. Almost persuaded me. Just pray right there, Franny. God will see you. Just pray right there. He'll see you. God bless you. Help her. God bless her. She cares. She loves the Lord. Oh, God. They're dying. And we don't even care. We see them every day. We talk to them. They pass us by. And then they die and go to hell. Well, they're almost persuaded. King Agrippa was moved and stirred and almost persuaded. But he went to hell. Don't go to hell for nobody today. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to get baptized. Just come forward. Get on your knees and say, God, save my soul. Uncle Rich, my daddy just died. I don't know all the facts. Christ answered, but he died today. Was the cry of oh, Rosie. I hope he didn't die and go to hell. He almost was persuaded, Rich. So was King Agrippa.
Why definitely the song? You Jesus and say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I want to go to heaven when you die. Say this prayer if you've never done it. Lord Jesus, I need to die for you. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart, Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. I'm trusting you right now. You listen to this by way of the internet. Right where you're at right now, God loves you. Don't turn this mic off. Don't turn this mic off. That's Christ coming out right now. Touch with your heart stirring. Let God come in now. Let Him come in right now while God's talking to you. Ask Him right now to save you.
The cross was just the beginning.
He loves you. He loves you.
Christ is risen,
oh,
and He's coming again.
My children,
my home.
Don't be awful.
Supper is waiting. It's time to come home.
Jesus,
chose me.